How can you spot a Christian? By her bumper stickers? By her Facebook posts? Well, for the early story of God in Acts, the way you spot a disciple of Jesus Christ is by his or her acts. So, here's the ending of Acts, from Acts 28, starting in verse 16. When we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. 3 days later, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, yet I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. When they had examined me, the Romans wanted to release me because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to the emperor, even though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is for the sake of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We've received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil against you. But we would like to hear from you what you think, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." After they had set a day to meet with him, they came to him at his lodgings in great numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he had said, while others refused to believe. So they disagreed with each other. And as they were leaving, Paul made one further statement. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.' Let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This unresolved story ends in mid-sentence. Not literally in mid-sentence, but it might as well. I have a couple of friends in my motorcycle club that I have to walk away from sometimes while they're still talking. You have any friends like that? They never stop talking? Well, my guess is that Paul never stopped talking. Considering how prolifically he wrote his letters and how he had these kinds of meetings where he just talked all night, it's probably a safe assumption to say that this was a rather loquacious fellow. And while I in no way believe that this ending of Acts suggests that we all have to be golden tongue speakers, I do believe that the story ends the way it ends, without an ending, in order to suggest that this story is never finished. This story will never finish being told. But we are tempted at times to try to catch lightning in a bottle, to define the Holy Spirit of God as if that's what we were supposed to do with God in the first place. And then just settle in for good. A little boy named Tom and his brother Douglas decides one day to catch a snowflake in a matchbox. I'm reading Ray Bradbury's novel right now about being a little boy in the summer of 1928, and it is by far already one of my favorite novels I've ever had fall into my hands. It's just this beautiful little book, semi-autobiographical, about his boyhood, growing up in this little rural town where nothing really happens. And if you've ever lived in small town rural America, you know that if it looks like nothing's happening, there's a whole lot happening. And that's what happens in this book. Tom and Douglas, kind of their story weaves its way in and out of this book, and all along the way are all of these other stories, things happening in the town. Old guy who fought in the Civil War, a 95-year-old woman who always wanted her picture when it came into the paper to be a picture of her when she was in her 20s. And there's just this wonderful little exchange between the newspaper guy and the woman when she's 95, because he tells her that one time in going through the newspaper that he fell in love with her. And so when he meets her, she's 95. But then they develop this relationship where they tell stories with one another. He's never left Greentown, Illinois. She's been all over the world. And so she takes him on these journeys through stories. And when she dies, after they had had vanilla lime ice cream, which is this strange flavor, and the book even comments on that, he goes back to the store and can't say it out loud at first, but he finally is able to speak and order some vanilla lime ice cream. And there's just these little things that happen all through that book. But with Tom and Douglas, these two little boys, there's this beautiful image where Tom decides one day in the wintertime during a snowfall to go inside and get a matchbox. And he catches kind of a perfect snowflake in the matchbox, shuts it, goes into the kitchen, opens the freezer, puts the matchbox in the freezer, and shuts it. And he says that the reason he does that is so that he would be the only boy in Greentown, Illinois in the summer of 1928 who had a snowflake. Tom and Douglas spend one summer afternoon trying to catch sunshine in their mouths. Again, this desire to hold on to something that's not meant to be held. It's meant to be lived. It's meant to be experienced. And while there are so many things in our lives that we want to hold on to, sometimes these things, like the Holy Spirit of God, are just meant to be lived. They're meant to be lived alongside and experienced. As the church, as the people of God, we risk missing out on what God is trying to share with us today by spending so much of our time trying to figure out God. And while I am the chief of sinners when it comes to trying to figure out everything I can, we as a church would do well, at least just for today, to just come in and enjoy the sunshine of God's presence. Every time we open our mouths, every time we live in the ways of Jesus, new generations of people will hear the story of God. And like Paul's experience, some will be convinced, while others will refuse to believe. Our job is to tell the story. And as we live and breathe, the Spirit of God is making all things new. The Holy Spirit of God is all about activity. Which is why I like it when people say that the fifth book of the New Testament, instead of calling it the Acts of the Apostles, might better be titled the Acts of the Spirit. Because the acts of God's Spirit in the book we call Acts all point to building up the people of God, renewing us in Christ Jesus to live as people of peace. So, in the tradition of Acts, this summer series that comes to an end today should probably not have a neat and tidy ending. Instead, perhaps we should just end with the blessings of renewal that we know in Christ Jesus. And since 2 Corinthians corresponds so well with Acts, here are two passages of blessing that renew us in Christ Jesus. So we do not lose heart, even though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See? Everything has become new. Beauty of the book of Acts is that its ending is not an ending. The story does not end. Certainly not the way stories are supposed to end. It invites us instead into an ongoing life of God that never ends. A life where we participate every day in acts of renewal, including the joy of matchboxes filled with snowflakes and the promise of sunshine on our faces forever and ever. God is with us. God continues to make all things new. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.